on video. If you have a question, please text Kevin, and he will let me know what that question is. There we go. Oh, a mic. We should pass that out while we're praying, too. I was thinking about that, so that everybody can hear. Oh, there you go. So that everybody, because I think prayer meeting night is an opportunity to pray. And I think we should all pray and have an opportunity to pray. Yes. All right. To see what time is it right now? I can't, you know, I cannot see that clock. I cannot see that clock. No. So I can preach until I'm done. Yeah. Yep. Yes. That's right. Yes. All right. Anybody have any questions? Got a question over here. Some over there, too.
All right. My question comes from 2 Peter chapter 3. I just read it last night.
Okay. Let me find it.
Okay.
2 Peter. Right before 1 John. 2 Peter chapter 3.
Yep, and it's going to be verse 10 and 12 and 13. Okay.
Okay.
Second Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Look, and then to verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Mm-hmm. So my question is, why is it referring to heavens, plural? And second is, What is the fervent heat that it's talking about?
Okay, there are, you have three heavens. You have the where we have our oxygen, and then you have the solar system, and then the presence of God. So the heavens there, referring to the three heavens, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And then your second question was the fire.
Yeah.
Heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Yeah, right. all the Lord Jesus Christ has to do is speak, and this world will literally fly apart. God's going to destroy this world with fervent heat, and then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth.
Okay, when it's saying the heavens shall pass away, it's talking where we have our oxygen and then the solar system, so it's just going to be the presence of God.
Right. So when he creates a new heaven and a new earth, we're going to be in the presence of God for all eternity.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you know, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. You know that? You know, God said it and bang, it was so. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, I have hear a word in a hymnal which I don't hear usually. I don't understand it. It's in the blood. It's font, F-O-U-N-T.
F-O-N-T?
Yeah. 43.
Fount?
Fount.
Fount
in
the
blood.
Yeah, fountain.
What?
It's the word for fountain.
Fountain.
A fountain. It's
okay,
flowing.
Fount. A fountain. If it's a fountain, I will understand, but fount.
Yeah, that will never run out, that Christ died for the sins of the world, and that there's always room. Room at the cross for you.
Right. No, like say a fount. I was trying to figure out what's fount.
Yes, a fountain.
When you say
so
fountain,
a short for fountain.
Abbreviated.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh yeah. So that the poem fits for the hymn. So for the poem that was written to. Yes.
Yeah, and it's been bothering me. So what's that word mean today in today's
fount.
Language?
Yeah.
I figure it's in old English and. That makes sense to me.
Yep. Good question. Yes. Yep. Yep.
God say in Deuteronomy that the sons are going to be punished for the sins of their fathers. And yet, we know that God also says other places that we're not going to be punished for the sins of our fathers.
Yeah.
So, what is meant by generational sin and the punishment of generational sin? If we say mm-hmm. that God is mercy, then how can yep. we have generational sin? But I told yep. you this. I told you this.
Yeah. Yeah, that would definitely require some backup study. Yep. Yeah. And there are some that yeah, in Scripture, especially the Old Testament, where the sin continues on and where the children, you know, for instance, you're talking about the fall, because Adam chose to partake of the fruit that God told him not to, all men have become sinners. So it passed on. So I can truly say that it's my dad's fault that I'm a sinner.
Well,
yeah. So yeah, there's some, but then on the other hand, God says, I'm not going to punish you for the sin of your father. Yeah. They're both there. You just kind of have to put it all together, don't you?
Right. Well,
so I have to study that.
We see in our culture where an addict will have a child that's an addict. We'll have a child that is an addict. Child yeah. that is an addict.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Especially if they abuse drugs
so
during
can I,
pregnancy,
can I use
it's
my dad
that
as
poor.
An excuse?
Yeah.
Depends, is he still alive?
Yes, he's still alive. Yeah.
A lot of sense, though, because the way a child is brought up in the house
yep.
is how they're going to act later in life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unless they choose different.
So that's what the grace comes in.
Right.
Because
yep. Yes, redeemed, purchased from the slave market of sin, yeah. Glorified, once we trust Christ as our Savior, we're already glorified. Yep. Yep, set free, yep. But we won't be glorified until the day Christ returns. So, but as far as God's concerned, we're glorified and be with Him for eternity. Yes, sir.
I've always been told that compared to the Old Testament and the New Testament, do we live by the Old Testament? And I was told, no, it's done away with, but we live by the New Testament, according to what I was told. Which Bible, a section of the Bible, do we live by?
Ah, all of it. Yeah, there's the idea that we're not bound by the law, by the Old Testament, but yet when you consider the fact of the law, it is reconfirmed in the new, you know, because you got the Ten Commandments, you got there's one God and only one God do you worship, so that's one, and then two, are there two gods? No, there's just one God, not two. Thou shalt not have any graven image, and then number three is watch your words. And then number four is go to church. And then number five is obey your parents. And then number six is thou shalt not kill. And number seven, one mommy, one daddy. And then number eight, thou shalt not steal. In some countries, if you steal, they're going to cut your finger, your thumbs off. So thou shalt not steal. And then number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. And 10, no, give me, give me. So the first 4 is a command to our God. The next 6 is a command to all people. And so it is horizontal. The first 4 is vertical, is up. And so when you look at those 10 commandments in the Old Testament, those 10 commandments, they commanded that God that you're to keep. But in the New Testament, they're even harder. Because when you talk about one mommy, one daddy, God, Christ said, hadn't it been said, that even if you look upon a woman and lust for her, you have committed adultery in your heart. So in the Old Testament, yes, we're not tied to the law. The law was to point us to Christ, to show us our sin. But now in the New Testament, we look back to who Christ is. And even though we're not bound by the law, we're even bound more so through the New Testament. So it's kind of, the question is almost on dispensationalism. Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah, there's a song, every promise in this book is mine, but that's not true. Because there are some promises in the Old Testament that aren't mine. Promises given to Israel that aren't mine. Promises to the unsaved that if you remain in your sin, you're going to spend eternity in hell. And boy, am I glad that promise isn't for me. You know, because of what Christ has done for us. So yeah, there's the Old Testament and New Testament. But yet the Old Testament is filled with so many illustrations of how to, like the story of David and his sin with Bathsheba. That story, you know, just comes to life and you see what took place in his life. Like talking about the question that Jane had, that sin with Bathsheba, because of that sin and lost a child, but then also he promised, he said, you committed adultery in secret, but as a result of this sin, your family's going to commit adultery before all men. And that's what Solomon did, that you know, when he tried to take over the kingdom. So his sin continued on even to his son. So it's part of that answer there. Did you have another question? Back up that? That's right. Yeah. But the law, you see, the law was pointing to Christ. Those Ten Commandments were to help man see at that time that they're not perfect, that they're sinners. They can't keep the law. And they were looking forward to a Redeemer all the way from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. They were looking forward to the fact that God was going to provide a lamb. So we now get to look back. So in the Old Testament, they were living by faith, believing in God and believing in the Lord and the Lamb that he was going to provide that would end all sacrifices. We in the New Testament get to look back to what Christ has done on the cross and trusting in him. So Old Testament and New Testament is all by faith in one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, yeah, but we're not bound by the, because all throughout the New Testament, it shares with us that we're not bound by the law. And that's what Paul was trying to fight, because he was sharing with Israel as well as the Gentiles that salvation is by faith and faith alone in Christ. And we're not bound by law.
But you know, in the Old Testament, we know a lot of people have sinned in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And we also look at David's life.
Uh-huh.
And David sinned.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I guess apparently they had a relationship.
Yes.
And they had a baby.
Yeah.
But God later took the baby because of sin.
Right.
But even though David confessed, was he reborn again, or did he just ask God to restore the joy of his salvation?
Yes. Yeah, so when David sinned, Solomon came to him. I've got the right name, right? Solomon, who was it? Sorry, I just read that story not too long ago. Nathan came to him and pointed out his sin. And David repented. He said, yes, I have sinned. So Nathan said that when he repented, that he said, well, God's not going to take your life, but the child that's going to be born is going to die. So it's not that he lost his salvation, but what he did was is he lost his relationship, his fellowship with the Lord. So he didn't lose his salvation. But what happened was is that there's still consequences to sin. And those consequences came forth from that sin. Because God promises to forgive us, but not take away the consequences. So those are consequences of his sin. So he didn't lose his salvation. He still had his faith and trust in the one true God, trusting in that final sacrifice that was going to come by faith. Yes. Yep. Right. Yep. Yep. And the Holy Spirit was taken from him, and David even prayed, "Take not your spirit from me." He was what? David. Oh, yes, many wives. Yeah, he had more than one. Yeah, he had many, many wives. Yeah. It wasn't a command until later that one wife, yeah. Yeah, and there's so many. Solomon, too. Solomon. Okay. That's Dana, yes. Yeah, so, but I thought he had the next question, too.
I was just going to say, too, that David repented in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness."
Yes.
You know, and he asked the Lord to forgive him for what he had done. Plus,
right.
He not only did he commit adultery, but he murdered Uriah.
Yes, he did.
You know, he had him sent to the battle where it was fierce at and put him there. But my question is, you know, growing up in a Baptist church, we always believed that once saved, always saved.
Yes.
And where in the scriptures does it say that?
Where does it say? Okay. Yes. So, first of all, Romans 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. That's a very good question. Romans chapter 8. Let me see if we can find the specific verses. Okay. Romans 8, let me begin reading at verse 35. So it's saying, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers," and I always refer to when it says nor angels, that includes Satan, "nor principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," even if there's a green Martian on Mars, he couldn't cause you to lose your salvation, and that includes you too, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So it talks about separation. We cannot lose our salvation, cannot be separated from him once we know Christ as our personal Savior. Also, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So it's not talking about once in a while life, but everlasting life. It's eternal. And then John chapter 10. John chapter 10, see if I can find these verses. It's talking about us being in the Savior's hand, and the Father's hands wrapped around the Savior's hand that we cannot be plucked. Can someone point that out to me real quick? It's in John 10. All things. What is it? Is it 28? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So the picture is that once we're saved, we're in the Savior's hand, and then the Father's hands are wrapped around the Savior's hand, and nothing can pluck us out of his hand. I and my Father are one. So there's three of them, and there's more.
So I guess the question you have to ask is, like, are you truly saved?
Yes.
You can never lose your salvation.
Right.
That
would be known as the unpardonable sin and the
rejection of the Holy Spirit, right?
Right. Yep. And the only unpardonable sin, I believe, is to reject the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because not even suicide or anything like that will cause you to lose your salvation. Yep. Okay. And then his question. Our Father which gave. Oh, he looked it up. What was the verse? Genesis 6. That I'm going to have to do research on? Well, thanks, Dana. Genesis 6, what was it again? Amen. God is good all the time. Yes. Okay, and so... To use DNA editing the vaccine DNA.
Oh, well, his concerns are about Genesis 6, 1 through 7.
Yeah.
And the current trend to use DNA editing in the mRNA vaccine. Plus 3, 7.
Okay. Yeah, edit. Yes, edit. Edit the... So mRNA vaccine. Okay, that's the... Okay, and using children's DNA from abortion to change? Yeah. Okay, I'll look. Yeah, because definitely if abortion is involved in this to get the DNA to help with the vaccine, to help somebody... Yeah, it's wrong. I don't have to study that, but yeah, I'll look into it. Okay, I have to look into it. Dana, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Can he answer that? That's what I think. That's what I, yeah, think it is. But yeah, Genesis 6, 1 through 7. I'll have to research that some more in order to answer that. Oop. Genesis 6, 1 through 7. That's the, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. And very, very quickly, I don't believe that these were angels that were marrying these individuals, because the Word of God says that angels aren't given in marriage, and that rather this is the kingly line of Seth, and that as a result of all this, men were violent and in sin, and so, yep. Okay, but that's my comment really quick. Anybody else? Okay. Right. Yep. Okay. Any other questions? Does that say 20 after? Great. All right. This was awesome. Thank you so much. Yep. Let's go ahead. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, this opportunity to think about the things of you. And Father, I pray that these answers were satisfactory to all those here and encouraging. We just thank you for your word and the fact that you've given to us the word of God, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. And we thank you so much for your word, the opportunity to study it and to consider what your word has to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. You are dismissed. And the one on glory we'll look at next Wednesday. Yes. Yeah.